My little title here this morning is a bridge builder, and I guess kind of the inspiration to some of this is we've been working on a bridge there at the house, and going across that little creek we got. And it's still kind of an ongoing project, but we've been working on it, and kind of got me to thinking and about bridges, and you know what it takes to build a bridge. You know, you don't just decide to one day just kind of go out there and you're just going to throw a few things together. You have to kind of think about it a little bit. And I want to just think of that in light of our lives and of our walk with the Lord and of others following behind us. And so if you can engage your mind in that way, what for bridges are we building that someone else maybe coming along behind could follow and find his or her way. But I think someone said at our house, you know, they waited for 10 years for this bridge. So I guess I've been a little slow catching up here. But it's amazing, you know, how it feels different. How much different it can feel when you have a bridge to go across this gully or this creek. It can just make the place seem a little different, you know. And, you know, there's some brand new possibilities now that you have a bridge. They're within reach, it seems like, you know. Before it seemed like things were, you know, I mean, it was just so far out there, you know, it wasn't within reach, you know. But I was thinking about this bridge, you know, it's just brought a different perspective to the place there. And so it is for us. Let's try to put this into our own lives and as we walk with the Lord. If you can just think with me down that line, there's new possibilities. As we think of our lives, how can we make it better for those behind? You know, the first thing we need to realize is that, like as for this bridge, that there was a need for one. We need to see the need for a bridge, see the need in our lives for a way to cross over. So, and then thinking of a starting place, you know, for this bridge, I had to consider where do I want to start this thing, and where do I want to end this thing. You know, this thing has to go somewhere. You know, I didn't want to do like I don't know if this name is familiar to you, Robbie Knievel or Knievel or something like that. It was. Maybe he would have just ramped it, you know, and jumped over it. He did that over the Grand Canyon. He found a spot that was 200 foot wide, gap there on the rim of the Grand Canyon. He took his dirt bike out there and he ramped that thing and jumped it, you know, and he survived it to talk about it. He made it by, his jump was 223 feet. That he ramped that bike and So he made it by 23 foot. By 23 foot. Now, I don't know what you think about that, but to me, that seems like he just barely made it. he just barely made it. 23 foot, but I guess he felt like that was good enough. But, you know, my point is, you know, how do we do? How do I live my Christian life? Am I good with making it? Just making a jump. And, you know, we'll hope for the best. If we make it by 23 foot, we did good. You know, is that, will I be satisfied with that? You know, Lord help us. We need, we don't want to be satisfied with that. We want to be sure of our landing, right? Of where we're going. We don't want to just make it by 23 foot. In Philippians, Paul says, Philippians 3:14, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. There's a, you know, we have to press in there. We have to, you know, this isn't something that you're just going to decide. You roll out of bed one day and you're just going to do it. You know, this Robbie guy, he didn't either. He went out there and I'm sure he practiced that jump somewhere else aside from that over the Grand Canyon. I don't know how many times. So he had this thing, you know, down pat. You know, he knew that he could, he must have pretty confidently knew he could make this jump, you know. I'm sure he did a lot of work and a lot of, you know, experimenting before he got to the Grand Canyon there and did that jump. But we need to have good anchor points, do we not? In making a bridge, if you're going to make a bridge, you're going to either put in some posts that down deep, you know, so you don't get washed away when a flood comes. You're gonna have some good anchor points in making a bridge. And, what is that for our lives in Christ Jesus? What is that anchor point? What's gonna hold when everything else washes away? We need to use the right material. You know, it needs to be of the right strength. You don't just use a little 2x4 to hold up this bridge. We have to have something big, some posts, some I-beams or something, you know, to hold this thing up. And just what you can see, and what you can see is just a small portion of what it takes on a bridge, what you look at. You know, it's those things that go deep down into the ground that really are holding that bridge. It's not just the things on the surface. So, yeah, we got this bridge there at the house and you know, some of us, we thought it would probably be just good with, we got a bridge now we can walk across, you know, and it's real nice. You know, we can just walk across there. But, you know, there are some others that thought this thing should have some railings. And, you know, I can get across there just fine. And I think all of us at our house can, but somebody said, well, what about, you know, some little ones come, you know, what if Sherilyn was to come, you know, or, you know, little Gabriel, he gets to walking around, or sometimes we've had Hezekiah at the house, you know, and that little fellow, if you know him very well, He goes everywhere. And so what about? What about these, you know, what about some railings on the side of this thing? You know, we got the structure there, but what about some railings? So we just think about those things and we can apply those things to our lives. I have a poem here I'd like to read, and then we're gonna go to Matthew 18 and look at a couple of verses there. I'd like to read this poem. The poem is The Bridge Builder. An old man going a lone highway came at the evening cold and gray to a chasm vast and deep and wide, through which was flowing a sullen tide. The old man crossed in the twilight dim. The sullen stream had no fear for him. But he turned when safe on the other side and built a bridge to span the tide. "Old man," said a fellow pilgrim near, "you are wasting your strength with building here. Your journey will end with the ending day. You never again will pass this way. You've crossed the chasm deep and wide. Why build this bridge at eventide?" The builder lifted his old gray head. "Good friend, in the path I've come," he said, "there followed after me today a youth whose feet must pass this way. This chasm that has been as naught to me, to that fair-haired youth may a pitfall be. He too must pass in the twilight dim. Good friend, I'm building this bridge for him." So that's my message here today is let's look at our lives and what are we building for those coming behind. Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18, reading verse 3 and 4, says, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever, therefore, shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven." I believe this is the foundation we all have to have, that deep anchor point. We have to be born again. That's where it, be converted, he says, and be born again and humble yourself here, he says, as a little child. And he says, it shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven unless this happens. And, you know, I think that's the starting place for each one of us, is we have to be converted and be born again and accept Jesus into our lives. And then we need to be rooted in that foundation. And from there, let our roots grow into Jesus Christ. Jesus made the way with his own blood. He gave everything. Jesus gave everything. He humbled himself, and he became, he was our sacrifice, and he gave everything. What have we given? Have we given everything? John 10:17 says, "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again." And, Isaiah 53, number verses there, verse 7, he says, "He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken, and he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he hath done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, and he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. This is the Lord Jesus, what he has done. He has made a way that we can be born again. We can be forgiven of our sins. We can be washed in his blood. And that is the foundation that we have to build on. And that has to be there. And then we can be rooted and grounded. Peter, they're in Peter chapter 13, 37, Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. And Jesus answered him, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. You know, and that's too many times I'm like, probably like Peter. You know, when things are, when you have the right people around you, you feel strong. You feel like you're able to withstand, you know, the enemy's attacks. But here Peter, when everybody left, and there he was, all by himself, and all of a sudden, you know, he was pointed at, you know, and he denied the Lord. I think we just need to stick close to the Lord, you know. We could be like Peter and also cave in. If we don't have a relationship, don't have our foundation on Jesus Christ and have it settled in our hearts that we're going to stand when all others walk away. Laying a good foundation. Ephesians says, 2:20 says, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. And that is what we need to build on, is Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone. In 1 Timothy 6:19 says, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. And that sounds like taking some effort to me. Sounds like there was some effort in laying hold, you know, and in preparing and laying up in store for themselves, it says, a good foundation against the time to come. What are we doing with our lives? Are we setting those stones in place? Are we setting those posts deep into the solid rock of Jesus Christ? 2 Timothy 2:19, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. The Lord knoweth them that are his. And we need to depart. There's something for us to do. We need to depart from iniquity. Jesus Christ will not dwell in our lives if there is iniquity there. Ephesians, no, I didn't read that. The foundation of the apostles. Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. That was in the Ephesians there. So in our lives, as we go through our lives, if we have begun that journey of walking with the Lord, and do we continue, you know, being in the Word and going deeper with the Lord and seeking His kingdom first. And some of these practical things, I mean, there's, you could probably make a long list, but I was just thinking, you know, this, as far as these, we're planning, we haven't made these rails yet on this bridge. But I'm planning to. But in our lives, what could be some of those things that we would on our bridge, that we would, just like that poem I read, the old man, you know, he got across okay. He made it safely, but he turned around and he spent a little time and prepared a bridge for the next one coming along to make it a little easier. What could we do? What are things that we can do in our lives that will help others coming behind us? And some of these, I think, is just, you know, some of them are just good habits. Even for, you know, us as older ones and our children, that's good habits at home. I was thinking of the time spent with the Lord, devotional time, and Nathaniel mentioned something about that this morning. And you know, do we go to bed in time, in good enough time we can get up, you know, get up in the morning so we can spend time with the Lord, or make time during our day somewhere? Do we spend that time in God's Word, in devotional time? How about our prayer time? And I'm speaking to myself. I have need in these things. It's not, I'm not picking on anyone. It's just, prayer time. You know, we could probably all spend more time in prayer. But I was just thinking, you know, how much time do we spend in prayer? And you know, if we have a device that collects screen time, I wonder if we pray as long as our screen time would show per day. If we would, you know, just thinking about some of these things, we sometimes have time to spend for other things. Do we have time for prayer? Now, some of those things, you know, or you can't help, but I'm just thinking of time we just spend that we could maybe be doing, having quiet time. Forming good habits for those coming behind. What about the young ones looking over our shoulders at the things we look at and the things we amuse ourselves with, the friends we enjoy being with, those we surround ourselves with, those we go to for counsel. You know, these are things that will, in our building, will make a difference of where we're gonna, how this thing's gonna end up, how this thing is gonna turn out. And it will make a difference for someone looking on, coming behind. And like I said again, this is I'm speaking to myself, but you know, how do we do with our businesses? Can we be content with such things as we have? Or do we always need to be getting bigger? Where's the balance in these things? Can someone follow behind us and not get lost? Is Sunday a day of rest, or is it packed full of activities? Yeah, how about the houses we build? Are they, you know, what's our motive? Is it to meet needs, or is it to show? The same with our vehicles that we drive. What are they to get us from point A to B? Our music, our clothes, what motivates us? Could someone coming behind us find their way to the Lord Jesus if they would listen to our music? Would they find the Lord in our music? Pursuit of pleasures. You can make a list that could just go on, you know. There's many things you can fill in those places you but we're all building, and are we building for eternity? And we're all gonna need some rails on our bridge. We really all are gonna need some rails on our bridge. You know, there at home we have this bridge, and for us older ones, it's kind of nice not to have a rail in some ways, because we can sit there and dangle our feet, you know, over the edge, and it doesn't seem frightening at all. But you know, for some little one coming along, you know, that would be not good, and that would be a bad practice. And so we need some railings on this bridge. Can a young one, a struggling one, find the pathway to heaven by following me? Is there love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance? Yes, could someone find the pathway to heaven following me? That's a sobering question. If we could just honestly ask ourselves that question, you know. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. That's Galatians 5. Have we crucified the flesh and the affections and lusts? What is the fruit coming out? You know, that's a gauge the Lord has given us to go by. It says, what is the fruit? By their fruits ye shall know them. There's many bridges that a person can work on, and here in just another one we could look at here real shortly is just there in chapter 18 of Matthew, verse 15 and 16 says, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And there's bridges, there's lots of bridge work to be done. And But you know, the foundation has to be put in. And we have to be rooted in Jesus Christ. And have the flesh crucified, like he says there in Galatians, and with the affections and lusts, before we can ever build this other bridge of helping this offended brother. But he gives us here the tools, what we need to do, how to go about it to win this brother. It says, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall not hear, thou hast gained thy brother. And isn't that a beautiful thing? Two can be made one again, or that relationship can be good again. And those are the bridges Jesus, God, would have us to build. Well, I guess at the end of my notes, so I'm not just going to keep on rambling, but there was one song, and I looked for it. I couldn't find it in our books, but the song came to me, Somebody Follows You. That song, you might kind of know it. Somebody follows you, watching the things you do. And let's just consider those things. And as we go through life, let's walk in such a way, and we may have hard things to go through. Let's turn around and build a bridge for somebody that's maybe coming that way shortly, so we can help each other along this pathway of life. Somebody follows you, watching the things you do. May the Lord bless you.